This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
And we're going to talk about tax incentives from the state of Rhode Island offered to potential companies to try to draw them here. Are there other options?
Yeah, and, you know, Dave, it's a good time to take a look at that. You know, Governor Raimondo's first budget was for fiscal 2016, the first one she had passed. And the incentives and the programs that she put in place in that budget kicked in the calendar year 2016. So, you know, let's take a look and see what's going on. And so far, the state has committed almost $63 million in various kinds of incentives, whether they're real estate or jobs-based. And you've had actually a whole lot of activity. And, you know, this is in stark contrast to during the Chafee administration, where two things tamped down the idea of incentives. First off was Governor Chafee really didn't like the idea. He wanted the business climate to be improved first and not to give special deals to anyone. And the second was 38 Studios, which, of course, has tamped down a whole lot of things. But number one, made people very, very shy about, getting involved in any sort of tax incentives. But since certainly the beginning of the year and culminating really the poster child of this kind of more activist approach to growing businesses or attracting businesses is the GE Digital decision to come here and drop 100 jobs in Providence.
There are varying degrees of incentives also. It's not one or the other.
Right. The two ones that sort of come to mind are jobs guarantee and there, for instance, in a story we recently did, there's a company that's moving from Attleboro to Providence, and over the course of 5 years, they're getting $500,000 worth of incentives, and they're moving their existing 20 employees, and then they promise to add 8 more. Now, some people might say, well, 8 jobs, $500,000, that's pretty expensive, but it's actually 28 jobs because they wouldn't have come otherwise, and it's over 5 years. And so when you start to, do the math that year, it's about a little less than $4,000 a job, and you have to ask yourself, is that job generating a certain amount of economic activity? And the state, for instance, said those incentives are going to bring about $11 million in economic activity, which is almost a 20-to-1, return on your investment. Another example, the real estate, the rebuild Rhode Island tax incentives, is the Pontiac Mills, that big, huge complex. Right now, Nilo, the Nilo Hotel is in there, but there's a lot more that can be redeveloped. And so a company is going to get, I think, $3.6 million in rebuild Rhode Island credits. And there are other things at work there, too, but at least for that one. And they've promised to invest nearly $300 million over the course of the years and bring, 1,000 construction jobs. So, again, the idea here now is a lot of these incentives, they're backloaded. You don't get paid until the jobs are here or until the buildings are occupied. And they're after the fact. So the state is committed to it, but it doesn't. If the things don't happen as they are expected to, then the state doesn't pay it out. And they are an incentive. And so that it brings the ideas, it pushes developers and it pushes employers over the top in making their decision about what they're going to do.
But this is still a relatively new process, and the jury, in a way, is still out on whether it is going to be a success.
Well, it's a new process for Governor Raimondo, but the state has had many different incentive programs. I mean, tax stabilization agreements, we've talked previously about the 30-year tax treaty on Providence Place Mall, and you could argue that without that, it never would have been developed, and, downtown would be very different. So it's the approach that Governor Raimondo has taken is new. It's different. It's a little bit more targeted. They're doing they're working harder at trying to measure the results, which a lot of programs in the past, money went out and really nobody reported the results. And we found that in a number of stories over the years that it was a little bit frustrating to try to find out just what kind of effect these things were having when nobody was really keeping track in the state. And that's one of the things that's happened to the Commerce Corp. Part of the project is also adding staffing, to the Commerce Corp and increasing its funding dramatically. And that's part of it is to understand what the effects of these programs are.
Some officials who oppose or at least are uncomfortable about using tax incentives to this degree argue that efficiency in government should be used first How about that?
Well, there's that, but a part of it is it's a very principled argument about, you know, you are advantaging certain industries against others, right? You know, government is picking winners and losers, and part of the argument, the response to that is government has been picking winners and losers since the time that they gave land to railroads across the country. It's a fact of life. The other piece is Rhode Island's in a very competitive marketplace for jobs with other states, not just in New England, but, you know, all over, certainly the Eastern Seaboard. And so you have to say to yourself, you know, if you don't get involved, if you aren't competitive, you're not going to be considered for the kinds of things that have happened. And that's what happened with GE.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. And we're speaking with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Mark, of course, General Electric is moving most of its operation from Connecticut to Boston, but a unit is going to locate in Providence. How big is that for the state, to use an example, to attract other businesses?
Well, I think it's potentially huge because, you know, GE could go anywhere. I mean, they're a multinational, you know, they're a global company. They're huge. They're putting their headquarters in Boston. The fact that they've decided that there's potential here for this very specific and very important future initiative. GE Digital is a new kind of thing for them. You know, yes, they make locomotives. Yes, they make power, you know, power generation plants. But they also are really banking on the future being much more in the digital space. And so the idea that they would come here validates to a certain degree the approach the state has been taking, so that other companies now, okay, they're in Rhode Island, let's take a look. And for years, of course, Rhode Island ends up on, you know, so low in a lot of these rankings, these, you know, business climate rankings and all the other things, so people are not even considering it. So now, you know, at least you can have a conversation, and that gives the governor and her staff a chance to actually get in there and make a sale. And that's really what this is about. It's about salesmanship. It's about being competitive, you know, in the vis-a-vis, you know, other states in the region and in the country.
And new lines of business, innovation, technology.
Well, yeah, and I think that that's a, you know, and they've been talking about it. I mean, GE Digital is one kind of thing, but, you know, the bioscience and life sciences sector here has been getting a lot of traction in certain areas, especially in brain science. You know, you have a couple of institutes that are well-funded that I would expect in a few years are going to be spinning off certain kinds of businesses in addition to growing the actual research itself.
In the moments we have left, I have a quick question about the race for president. What should voters be paying attention to when all of the economic proposals start coming out?
Well, for Rhode Island, I think there are four issues that matter to Rhode Island. Number one is trade policy. Number two is the minimum wage. Number three is infrastructure investment, you know, on the grand federal scale. And the last is our incentives for investment and R&D spending. Those are the kinds of things that are going to have an effect on Rhode Island. A lot of the other big issues, bank regulation, you know, is one that, you know, I mean, it'll happen, but it's not going to have a lot of effect on the kinds of jobs that are here necessarily. These other things will have an effect on the kinds of jobs that are here. If you're an advanced manufacturer, a small company here in Rhode Island, you need to be looking outside of Rhode Island. You need to be looking internationally for your markets in order to grow. Teco is a prime example. They bought an Italian company so they could get access to the European market. They have operations in Asia because they know that's a big market for them. So they recognize that trade is really, if you want to prosper, if you want to grow, you need to look outside. And so trade agreements are really quite important for Rhode Island's economy.
Okay, thanks. Mark Murphy, editor of Providence Business News.
Thanks so much, Dave.
This is The Bottom Line. I'm Dave Fallon, and this is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.